real time, it was tough. But it's and Joe, I talked to Joe a lot. Joe was probably the happiest person in the world that I didn't win finals MVP and that I didn't play in two of the games in the Olympics. So that was odd. But if you know Joe, it makes sense. Did I need any extra motivation coming into the season? No, I don't. I'm not going to give anybody in particular credit that, you know, they're motivating me to come into the season.
How was Tatum yesterday? You think he's motivated? I know they're saying it. Everyone's saying, oh, it's a properly motivated team. They're so motivated. Al Horford said Tatum was in the gym at 6 a.m., and Tatum says he's motivated, and Missoula thinks they're motivated, and Jaylen Brown must be motivated from Nike. Do you think they're motivated? Do you think they're ready to defend their title? Because the last five champions probably came in and said they were motivated. I'm sure in Denver last year, all the local media there was like, look at them. Oh, they're motivated. They're hungry. They're going to defend the title. And a lot of us probably ate it up. And so I just wonder, how motivated are they really? It's impossible to know. I know everyone's saying they are. And I guess I like what I'm hearing, too.
Yes.
But proof will be in the pudding on that one. No. And it's the kind of thing that bites a defending champ in the ass. We've seen it a lot lately in the NBA.
I think they are motivated, and I love it because it's two things that kind of came out of nowhere. Like, if it wasn't an Olympic year, I don't think you have this. You would have Jason Tatum motivation not being finals MVP and questioning whether he's like a true elite number one. Like, he's a stud player. He's all NBA first team. But there's still that line, right? Like, that maybe he didn't cross over. All great, great players win finals MVP. That's just a fact.
Yep.
Even Steph Curry didn't, and then he eventually did. So that's one thing for Tatum. So you're like, all right after the finals were over, you're like, that's one thing for Tatum to have motivation for the next year. Okay, great. But then the Olympic thing was unreal. You couldn't have predicted it. Jason Tatum on the team, but barely plays. Like, there's a couple games where he just straight up doesn't play. Jaylen Brown doesn't make it originally and then doesn't make it with a replacement. Like, I think that's so much fuel. Like, certainly when they play Steve Kerr or they play anybody else. But I think Jaylen Brown for the whole season, I think that narrative will be out there. I'm like, this is the guy that didn't make the Olympic team. This is like, they'll be talking about it throughout the year. I think they're both primed for a great year. I think they're motivated.
The Jaylen Brown thing, this is where I would push back on Terp, and he joined us earlier. Oh, well, Jaylen had a great summer. But you can't have a great summer and also be motivated by being snubbed by the Olympic team, right? Like, those two things don't. Those don't compute.
So either
he's lying about how great his summer was, which I think he is.
Yeah, yeah.
Or he's going to be motivated by the Olympic snub. Like, both of those things can't be true. You can't have had a great summer and also be like, nah, I got snubbed by the Olympic team and be
all
pissed
right,
about
let
it.
Let me ask you this, not to get off of the Celtics for a second, but do you think Bill Belichick had a great summer?
No.
I don't know. People are talking him up like crazy.
I think Bill is bored to tears, which is why he has 8-9 jobs on podcasts.
No, I'm not talking about the jobs.
He can't stand being around Jordan.
But I'm saying he's a guy. Well, that was his choice. But I'm saying he lost his job. I know they mutually parted ways, but he got fired. And yet people that didn't even want Belichick were like, man, he got done dirty. And like, the dynasty was bad. And like, everybody's like, people were more pro Belichick.
You said
even
this
after
with
a bad year.
I understand what you're asking now. You said Jaylen became somewhat a sympathetic figure. True. And Bill is somewhat of a sympathetic figure now as well. Fair. But does that mean he had a good summer? No, I don't think he had a good summer. And so,
you can be pissed about not making the Olympic team, but then also there'd be sort of a lot of positives around it. And now everyone's like, yeah, you should have made the team. Like, people that probably didn't even care are now like, I'm on Jaylen's side. How did Team USA leave him off the roster?
That's fair. Let me give you an example of what I think is a negative. You tell me. And you can jump in on the Celtics, 617-779-7937. I told you this off the air, Keith. We both looked at this Rhona Shelburne column yesterday, prior to media day, about how the Celtics' honeymoon from a title changed in 12 days. And it went from the hallway outside the locker room where Rhona Shelburne is chatting with Tatum's mother and Brad Stevens, and she overhears this conversation, and everybody's on cloud nine, to the team is being sold. Which Brad Stevens, by the way, interesting anecdote in there. Brad Stevens got a call on the day of free agency from Wick, thinking it was about...
Like, hey, do you want to buy it?
No, thinking about, we're going to pay Derek White this, we're going to pay Jason Tatum that, and kind of going through the whole negotiation and like ownership kind of crossing T's, dotting I's, filling in ownership. He thought that's what the call was. Turns out the call was, oh, by the way, we're selling the team.
Like, okay.
And so there were a few interesting anecdotes in there, but you know where the offseason went. You know, the teams around them boned up. Guys got snubbed from the Olympic team, either not being allowed on it in Jaylen's case or not getting enough minutes in Tatum's case, not getting off the bench. Never mind the whole Derek White thing in the middle of it. So there's all that. But in that column, Ramona Shelburne writes about Jaylen Brown's experience in 2019 with Team USA, where he was part of the World Cup. She says, Brown hadn't exactly been a star for Team USA in 2019 when he played in the World Cup under Greg Popovich.
Nobody was. Didn't they come in like eighth? They were horrible at that thing.
So that team had Tatum, Brown, Kemba, and Smart. And yeah. They finished like, yeah, something
and
like
Derek
that.
And Derek White, eighth. I think.
Yeah, Derek White was not a Celtic yet, but yes, he was on the Spurs.
And Ime Udoka was an assistant.
Correct. Yeah. It was on that team. He averaged 8 points, 4 rebounds. Team finished seventh. I'm sorry.
Seventh, okay.
There were some questions then about his ball movement and decision-making, sources said, and questions during the summer among Team USA leaders about whether he'd be willing to play defensive-minded role that White was being tasked with. So modern-day questions about his commitment to being a defender first, lingering questions from 4 and 5 years ago about, is he a team player?
I know.
Will he share the basketball?
When
other
we talk
guys
about ball movement? You're talking about the movement of the ball.
Thank you, Glenn. So True. It's whether or not he'll share the basketball, the ball movement of the ball, and these are reasons why he was left off the team. I mean, I don't think any of that's valid. I think Brown should have been on the team, but maybe there's some of those whispers still about, is he a team player?
So I'm sure there are people that feel that way if, you know, she's writing about it, but how dumb. 5 years ago, that was before he made All-NBA. That was before he was the finals MVP. Because 5 years ago, there were all those stats. Even 3 years ago, Tatum and Brown would, like, never assist on each other's buckets and, like, things like that. I feel like Brown may never be this great playmaker. He'll never lead the league in assists or anything like that. But his game has obviously evolved. Like, Brown and Tatum both are better playmakers today than they were in 2019. So that's a weird reason to leave him off the roster this go around.
I'm looking at the roster.
From 19 or 24?
From 19. Yeah. So who would even be bellyaching about it? Donovan Mitchell?
They're like buds.
He's not. Well, and he's not even part of this
team.
No,
he's not on this team
experience.
And they're friends.
Joe Harris?
No, that team sucked.
Mason Plumlee.
Was
Miles Turner, Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton. Everybody else was Celtics or tied to the Celtics in the case of Derek White.
Yeah,
so
I don't get that.
There were other guys in camp who were candidates to make that team. I don't know if they chose not to be on it or if they didn't make it, like Devin Booker.
Yeah.
That's a guy who's currently on Team USA. Was he bellyaching about it? Steph Curry, I'm sure, turned the team down. Durant, LeBron.
Oh, they all turned it down.
Right, but were they at some of these Team USA practices and whatnot, the runs, like basketball runs, where they're like, this guy doesn't pass, and is that in the back of their mind? Like, even if he's grown as a player, they're No, I played pickup with this guy, and we went through these Team USA practices, and this guy didn't share the ball.
No, it's still really odd because Kawhi Leonard was the guy that was removed from the team, and he is a superstar player. And yes, he's good defensively, but he's also used to scoring a lot, and they replaced him, a stud guy, which, when you looked at the roster, like, this is one of the greatest rosters ever assembled. If you look at all the achievements all these guys have, but then they replace him with Derek White, who's great, but he's more of a role player than anything else. He's not an all-star. He's not the finals MVP. So I still think the whole thing was odd. And whether there was players or just the coach or if it's just Grant Hill or whatever that decided to leave him off, I still think it had more to do with Nike and or, oh boy, what's Jaylen Brown going to say? Like, Jaylen Brown's a world stage. What is he going to say? I think those guys, whether they like him or don't on the team, I honestly don't think LeBron or Tatum or Durant kept him off the team.
How do you feel about Perk's comments? We played them earlier in the show. He said it yesterday. No one fears the Celtics. Now, I don't think he gave great examples of why people don't fear the Celtics.
No.
Because out one end of his mouth, he says that. Out the other, he says, yeah, that's why the Knicks went out and got Mikal Bridges. And that's why the Sixers went out and got Paul George. Like, to me, those are examples of at least making it sound like teams fear the Celtics. I think teams should fear their talent. The Celtics' talent is legit. They're the most talented team in the sport.
Yeah.
They've been that for a few years. And last year was the best version of the Celtics and the most talented of those Celtics teams. But I think Perk is getting at something where other teams aren't intimidated by the Celtics because I still don't think they feel like a tough team. I don't feel like a team where if you push them around, they're going to respond. And they really didn't get pushed last year, Keith. So I think it still applies. Despite the hardware, despite the title, they're a team that the Miami Heat, at full strength, have knocked out of the playoffs multiple times. Last year without Butler, they couldn't. I still think the feeling in the league is you can push them around, you can screw with them. And if they ever had a playoff run where the opponents were at full strength, they didn't get that last year.
Yeah.
Not their fault.
Yeah.
But we can all agree they didn't get it. I don't know that teams are intimidated or fear them in that way. They should fear their talent.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they fear their tenacity or toughness. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, because I guess both could be true. Like, it's the team everybody's chasing. They're not only the defending champs, but they're far and away the most talented team. I mean, they were a 64-win team last year. They were 37-4 at home, meaning, like, I think anytime a team shows up to the Garden, they're like, all right, this isn't probably not our night. Let's try to get them another time. So they're loaded. I think they're tough to play against, especially if you're a guard and you have to face Drew Holiday and Derek White and Jaylen Brown. Those guys just, you know, playing defense against you. Probably not going to be a great night for you either. But I also could see how, if you want to really use that phrase that Perkins said about, like,
fear.
All right, what is it? The 90s Bulls, the 80s Lakers and Celtics. Maybe Curry and Durant when they were together. Like, I don't know how many else, everybody else is, like, feared.
LeBron. That LeBron Miami Heat team, for sure.
For a couple of years, yeah. I guess. I mean, they didn't win it every year.
No.
You know, but yeah, I guess you probably saw them and you're like, oh, man, this is a long night. LeBron, Wade. But, like, since then, it's probably Durant, Curry, and then the last 5 or 6 years, there probably isn't anybody. This would probably be the closest team to being feared, I would say.
Right, but the point would be, yeah, maybe. Maybe they'd be more feared than some of the other recent champions. I wouldn't argue with that. But the point is, right now, those teams who haven't been feared, like, no one feared the Nuggets. I don't think anybody feared the Nuggets.
Oh, no, probably not. Jokic is the best player in the world, but they
didn't defend.
They didn't defend
their title. No one feared them. They might have been the best team in the league. Some people might have felt that way. But I don't think anybody feared them.
And if
Perk said that about the Nuggets a year ago, we wouldn't have batted an eye.
Yeah. But, like, did anybody fear the Bucks after they won it?
Probably not.
Or you're like, Giannis is really good.
Yeah.
Like, he's a really good player.
But they didn't win again.
Yeah.
So I didn't think that would be Perk's point. Like,
true.
Teams know they could take them down.
Yeah, but I think this is still so okay. It's the best team. Maybe they don't fear them, but they are the odds-on favorite. They should be, even if everybody's healthy, because that would also mean the Celtics are healthy. That means Porzingis comes back, and that's another dynamic that they didn't have for every game last year. But when they do have it, it is a tougher out. Everybody is still chasing them. Every single team around the league is looking up and saying, "All right, do we have enough to beat the Celtics?" Some might think that they do. But, like, I don't see it. Maybe they don't have the LeBron or Curry or Shaq or Kobe, I guess, is maybe, or Bird or Mad. Like, teams that were feared might have a guy like that, and maybe they don't have that.
Yeah, but. I mean, right. I guess, does it make the Celtics scarier that Tatum had a bad postseason? And I could see that maybe bad is too strong, but, you know, he didn't. Take over the postseason like some other superstars have in the past.
I think there's, but they're
that could make them scarier.
You could say,
my God, like there's all this ceiling there where if Jason Tatum finds his shot, that's another thing that was in this Ramona Shelburne story. They feel him and his trainer, why am I blanking on the name? Drew Hanlon.
Yep.
They think there was a mechanical issue with his shot that carried over into the Olympics,
so that
blah, blah, blah.
Needs to help.
So yeah, maybe hopefully. There's ceiling there, but maybe you also look at it and go, yeah, I mean, they won, but Tatum isn't scary because look at how he played in the postseason.
Yeah, there is that. So maybe that is what some teams are banking on. I do think they're the only team that, like, when they're starting lineup, there's no weaknesses. Like, every other team, you're like, that guy starts. You're like, as good as they are, you're like, wait, how, that guy's in there? And you're like, well, I got to start somebody at the four or at the two or like whatever. Like, their team is loaded, and even the first guy off the bench is really productive. Plus, I think the way they can shoot threes, they're not the Splash Brothers, but when Porzingis is out there and everybody on the court is just like throwing them in, it's like they could score 20 points on you in a second.
No, so, that's true.
And they play defense too, right? Not that that's the most interesting thing in the world, but it is a calling card of theirs. They have a couple all NBA defensive players. So, yeah, I think it's a long night. It's the team they're chasing. It's the measuring stick, but it might not be at the point yet where it's a fear. But the way Perk said it, it was almost like they're like super beatable. Like I don't view it like that.
Yeah.
I thought he was laying it on a little thick.
So I don't think he was talking about their talent or that they're beatable. I just think it's no one's afraid. They're not a tough, physical, scary team in that way. And maybe I'm shortchanging Drew Holiday and Derek White.
It's also hard to be in the league in this day and age.
Right,
like,
but
like who's like a
maybe Miami is one of those teams, and Miami has beaten the Celtics that way a bunch. The Warriors,
well, like,
the Warriors
what,
took it to the Celtics.
No,
yeah.
But Miami's not like I don't. You're scared of Miami. I'm not saying you are, but like, I don't think anybody's scared of Miami.
No, but like the physical element of it, yeah. I think the Celtics have been in the. I think we've seen it with the Celtics. I think we saw it against Golden State in the finals.
But this version of the Celtics, we haven't seen it yet.
No,
I know it wasn't a fair fight with Miami. That's what I'm saying. Drew Holiday's the biggest to me. Is like the single hand. Like he is the biggest difference. And when you're running in there, you're like, all right, Kemba Walker, we're playing a tough team. Like, are you going to get smothered?
Yeah, I just think it is fair to point out, and it's not the Celtics' fault, but it is fair to point out who the Celtics went through last year. It was not a healthy Miami. It was not a healthy Indy. Why do I always forget who they got in the middle round? Who they get in the middle round? A healthy Cleveland. Thank you. Cleveland without Donovan Mitchell. Yeah, no, jeez, Mitchell. I completely forgot about that series. That's how forgettable their run was.
Yeah.
And Dallas, you don't take it away. You don't remove the championship. I'm not taking down the banner. But that's fair to point out. And if you're asking, can they do it again? That's a fair question.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
Oh, it certainly is time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And we begin, as we have been the last couple of weeks during the Grab Bag, with Ohtani Watch. He has sailed past 50-50. We are now on to a 60-60 season. Home runs and stolen bases, played last night, and we're still stuck on 53 home runs, 55 steals.
Oh, that Michael King. We told you yesterday.
King was good.
Apparently he's a Rhode Island native, is what the text line told me yesterday.
Shout out to the Ocean State.
I meant to fact check that. Should I fact check that right now?
No, that's fine. We'll call him Rhode Island guy.
He's Rhode Island adjacent, if
he
not Rhode Island's own.
Did get a double yesterday.
Nice.
But no home runs.
That doesn't do anything for me.
No home runs, no steals.
That's
sorry
not,
about that.
It's not going to get it done. Michael King is from...
Go ahead. Could be anywhere.
This says Rochester. Oh, no. Born in Rochester. Warwick.
Warwick.
Attended Bishop Hendricken.
Nice.
Back!
The San Diego Padres in that game clinched a playoff spot by turning a triple play in the ninth inning.
Nice.
Think of that.
I heard Billy say that in trending. I didn't
realize
that. You
like a triple play?
Yeah.
You guys like a triple play?
Yeah. Who had the unassisted triple? Scott Cooper? Do you have an unassisted triple play
John
when you were kids?
John Valentin.
Valentin. I'm sorry. That's who it was. 100%. Johnny Val. Unassisted triple play.
Yeah. I think Gary Gaetti turned one once. Stepped on the bag. Nice. Fire over to second. Fire over to first.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. It's nice.
And here comes the grab bag. Grab bag.
Red Sox had one of their best wins of the season last night. I'm sure you're all locked into it right here on WEEI, but a big win. It's four in a row for the Red Sox, who are still in the wild card race. They won 6-5, big comeback victory in extra innings against the Blue Jays.
Nick, what were you telling me? They got to win out and the Royals now have to lose out?
I believe that's it. Since the Royals won last night, the Red Sox have to win out, the Royals have to lose out.
But so that's not everything, though, because the Mariners and the Twins...
And they still need to leapfrog.
And they need more help.
Yo, yeah. Yeah, they sure do.
Okay.
Right now, the wildcard teams are the Royals and the Tigers. The Twins are two games out. The Mariners are 2.5 out. Red Sox are 3.5 out. But one more win would also guarantee a non-losing season.
Yeah.
They're 80-78.
That's something.
It's something, all right.
I don't know what it is, but it's something.
It's something.
They've been terrible since the All-Star break, so I can't feel too good about even a 500 season, but yeah.
Yeah, no, kind of
still technically still alive, though.
Yeah.
Not dead.
All right.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a grab bag.
Bruins preseason action last night. Nice win over the Washington Capitals. Bees are here.
I didn't mean to jump the gun with the Corpy news there.
It's all good.
Shutting them down.
Corpy was in there, didn't play the full game. You know, that wasn't the plan.
No,
but
no. As you said earlier, if you had the over 6.5 on saves, cash that check.
He certainly did. Wasn't exactly peppered in net there, Corposalo, but
nobody can give any up.
It's like the Celtics. They didn't play a lot of good teams in the playoffs. Not their
true.
Fault.
It's
not
fair,
Corpy's fault.
It's a fair point.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't fear Corpy. I don't fear the Celtics.
I don't fear Corpy.
Fabian Lizell, goal last night.
Like that.
A lot of questions.
The kid.
Montgomery was questioning him after the first preseason game. He went out. Yeah. He got a goal. Good for it. Maybe he's in your top six.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Grab bag.
Somewhat controversial news. Kurt Miller out as L.A. Sparks head coach after two seasons.
Grab bag.
But this, Amazon Prime is going to debut an NHL-style red zone. Are you in on that? See all the Corposalo saves.
Yeah, I think I could get in on that. Let me tell you.
I'm not sure how this is going to work.
Okay, the Gold Zone. Did you watch the Gold Zone during the Olympics?
ESPN tried it with Bucci last
year. Dude, I was Mr. Gold Zone.
Okay.
I wouldn't stop watching the Gold Zone.
How good was Gold Zone?
Loved Gold Zone.
I don't even like the Olympics.
I love it.
But that was perfect because
it enhanced the experience.
Yeah, give me 2 minutes on fencing. Maybe 2 minutes on water polo.
Skateboarding. Or you got a rowing? I'll watch a little rowing.
Yeah, because I don't want to flip around and find all the stupid events and then watch all of them.
Yeah, they're not stupid. They're great.
Why don't you, on Gold Zone, give me a little ray gun? Breakdancing. Give me that.
Ray gun.
Pretty good.
She's the number one ranked breakdancer now, so you watch your tone.
Yeah, she is. She flew up the power rankings.
Is she number one?
Yeah.
What?
They love her.
Yep.
She brought a lot of attention, a lot of eyeballs on
her. Tier Tuesday? Breakdancing?
Breakdancing.
Yeah, break
I like that.
Tier one, ray gun.
Ray gun.
That's
the rest of it.
On a tier by herself.
But how is this going to work, though? Because
I'm in
football, red zone is the reason they call it red zone.
Power plays.
Inside the red zone.
Plays.
Yeah, okay, maybe
power
that.
Plays. Oh, Rangers are going to the power play. Ice is tilted. Ice is tilted in this game. They've been in this zone for a minute now.
Yeah.
Because how do you predict a goal? I feel like they come out of nowhere.
The best power plays are what, like 25% of the time? You're like, you're going to every power play. You're like, another.
They should just call it power
another
play.
2 minutes it's of skating. Another 2 minutes of skating back and get. Oh, that's true. You get some shorties there.
Give up a shorty.
Oh, yeah.
I'd watch that.
Shorty. Out there giving up another shorty there, yeah.
I like that.
Oh, my God. It's
grab bag? This is a big story today, and it involves former Holy Cross quarterback Matt Sluka, who is at UNLV, the Runnin' Rebels, who were in the grab bag yesterday because they're on the fence about whether they want to join the Pac-12 or not.
Yeah, there's a lot of UNLV talk.
This is more scandalous than that.
Yeah?
So Matthew Sluka, to the layman, he is the starting quarterback. They are 3-0. The Runnin' Rebels are running hot right now out
Real
there.
Hot.
Left the team.
Oh, no.
He left the team. He's like, all right, good luck to all the fellas, but like, I was promised one thing, didn't get it, so I'm going to leave. And
this
I think
is the starting quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Starting quarterback, 3-0 UNLV team. Some people think there's an outside chance for them to maybe even be a playoff team if everything breaks right for them. And he is leaving, I think, with the hope to maybe play somewhere else. I think he's already graduated from Holy Cross, but he might be able to get one more year of eligibility. He's pulling the plug on it now. At first, I was like, oh, my God, how do you do that? Well, you read into this story. Apparently, he was given a verbal offer that within NIL money he was going to receive $100,000 to play for UNLV. He has received $3,000, and it was just for like moving expenses. He hasn't gotten any of it. It's not like he asked for more. It's not like he got out to a 3-0 start and asked for more.
It's like Wiggy at Brockton High.
It is. This is like Wiggy's salary at Brockton High.
It's Wiggy's salary.
Which he also hasn't seen.
No.
But so, yeah, he was told, hey, you come out here, you'll get $100,000. He's like, all right, I'm in. And now he isn't. So it's funny because at first a lot of people are pushing back on it. Be like, what has happened to college football? I'm like, well, I wouldn't use this kid as an example. College football is now pro football.
But then how old is he?
How old is he?
Yeah.
What does that matter?
Well, I'm just saying. Just answer the question. How old is he? Like 24?
Do I know this guy? Like, I'm friends with this guy?
What can I?
He's probably a young gun. He's probably 23.
How far could I make? Because they're paying him $3,000 a month is what they've agreed to, right?
No. Yes. He's only gotten $3,000.
Well, they offered him $3,000 a month. He's quitting after a month, so you don't get the other months.
$3,000 a month? How many months do you need to be there to get your $100,000?
They were going to pay him $12,000. So, like, obviously he's in the right. There was a verbal agreement. He should get his $100,000.
Yes.
But, like, I'm 23. I'm 24. How long can I make $12,000 last?
A long time.
I could make that work.
In Las Vegas?
Well, I don't know. You could double it.
No, you
double
it. Or you could lose it all. Or you could lose it all, Jones.
Well, you could, but then
are you on, whose side are you on?
I'm saying he's obviously right. He had a verbal agreement that he should get it, but does that mean he should leave his team over it?
Well,
he's obviously right and he's entitled to the money.
They're holding him over a barrel.
There are probably ways to do it. You should leave your team over it?
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm another college.
He barely knows these guys. He's played 3 games with them.
But now I'm another college. He wants to go play somewhere else. Am I like running to go sign this guy?
Or I don't know. If the NIL says we're going to give you $100,000, if you give him the $100,000, I bet he plays for you.
Okay, he probably would. I'm saying he's in the right, but is this the best way to go? Quitting on the
money.
Quitting on the team is the best way to get your $100,000?
My guess is he's not a pro quarterback. My guess is he's going to have to get a real job like the rest of us after this year. So he doesn't have an opportunity to get $100,000 right now other than playing football. So
he kind of stinks. He hasn't completed over 50% of his passes.
Do you think another
3-0, Nick?
Do you think another school is going to give him $100,000?
Do
you think another school is going to give him $100,000?
Look at his running stats. He runs a lot. He scoots. He scoots.
I do like a mobile. I don't want to be inconsistent.
He's mobile.
I am team feet. I like a mobile quarterback.
He had 120 rushing yards against Kansas.
Nice.
That's a good Kansas team.
Bolsa de mano.
Spanish for grab bag. He's not. But no, it's an interesting story. But yeah, stuff is crazy. Stuff's sideways now in college football. It's not even really college football anymore. It's like the second pro league.
Semi-pro. Yeah.
What's in the
grab bag? The new Mr. McMahon documentary about Vince McMahon is available now on Netflix. It was released today.
Is that what it's called? It's called Mr. McMahon?
Yeah, it's called Mr. McMahon. And he's in it. He agreed to be in it. This is way before everything that happened. And a couple of stories have come out since. One, he issued a statement saying it's like, oh, there's tricky editing and this doesn't tell two stories. And basically, like, no, guys, don't watch it. There's also a story that said he tried to buy it and destroy it.
Oh, Catch and Kill.
So I'm all in on this. Yeah, Catch and Kill. Bill, are you in on this? You going to watch this?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Wait. I think I might watch this tonight.
So I'm sorry.
I got to decide because I got episode 3 of the Hernandez thing in the bullpen and 6 episodes of Vince McMahon.
I tried to pitch the Hernandez show to Kat last night. She had zero interest in watching it. Yeah.
I got my girlfriend into it just because she's into informative murder porn.
There you go.
So like if there's that.
Better
that
pitch.
Informative.
That's a better pitch. I should have.
You know, that's how you have to do it because she loves the ID channel.
Oh, she would have loved Joe Mazzulla or a famous serial killer.
She might have been tuned in for all we know. I gave her the heads up, but
she would have loved
that. Yeah, she's into it. So that's how I was able to sell her on it. But that's like how I also got her into tolerate me checking in on wrestling.
Yeah.
It's like Total Divas and like the Total Bella
shows.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. So you kind of, you grease up the skids a little bit, and then it's like, oh, hey, by the way, this is what they do for
a living. Nikki Bella got a divorce?
Yeah, she's asking for a divorce, yeah.
From Artem.
Some dancer. Yeah, he was on Dance with the Stars guy.
Yeah, he was. Oh, nice.
Some nimble fella.
Is she gonna watch? Are you gonna? Will she watch the Mr. McMahon with you?
I think so.
Nice. Yeah, this
because again, I'm scandal. It's not necessarily. It's just scandal. Any kind of scandal. She'll
scandal maker.
She's into scandalous material.
Right. Nice. Okay.
I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody instead of a
grab bag,
which is what I am.
Robert Kraft won an auction for a Tom Brady card, an old Tom Brady card. He did. $120,000 he spent. You know who was sitting next to him during the auction?
The eBay? Where did he win this thing? Oh, is that an actual auction?
Is that at a physical auction?
Who was sitting next to him?
When he won the Tom Brady card. I'll give you a hint. It rhymes with Tom Brady.
Did he outbid Brady for it?
I don't know if Brady was interested in it, but yeah. Robert Kraft spends $120,000 on a Tom Brady signed rookie card.
Nice.
So he couldn't have gotten the card separate than had Brady sign it?
Nope. Yeah, how about you spend a little more on the offensive line there, Kraft?
I would have taken $120,000 on a tackle, please.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, if you could make that happen. Text line, by the way, saying, is this true?
What's wrong?
37937.
Maybe.
Gary Gaetti turned 2 triple plays against the Red Sox in 1990.
I wouldn't rule it out. I for sure remember in my brain Gary Gaetti turning 3.
What a glove on that guy.
Oh, God, nice.
Wow.
Gary Gaetti, good player.
Nice.
Grab bag.
You already mentioned that Kyle Duggar has been named a team captain as Juwan Bentley has been placed on season-ending IR.
Nice.
So he'll get the C on his chest like Jason Varitek.
The hills fill my heart with the sound of me.
Grab bag.
Also, new hashtag Dork Podcast, The Penguin, episode 1, out right now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay.
There you go, Jones.
Get in there. That's that's the way to do it.
Grab bag.
It's approved by Devon Godshow.
Yes.
The Dork Podcast.
Yep.
A huge fan. Even though it's a competitive space.
Child Talk. You.
Yeah. Child Talk.
There's room for both of us.
Dork.
Make sure you subscribe to the
Hashtag Dork Podcast.
That's what we said.
That's it.
Let's check in with WEEI Afternoon, see what Arcan and Hart have coming up next. It's Jones and Keefe, WEEI, taking you up until 2 o'clock. Banner day today, Keefe. An emergency key for madness.
Maybe the best day.
What else did we do?
Oh, actually,
on the show? Would you rather?
Would you rather? It was awesome. It was great.
First game show.
First game. We've established that we're gonna have a show. Jones and Keefe Ring of Honor.
Oh
that people
yeah,
can
right.
be inducted
oh,
into.
I buried the lead.
So we'll work on that. But I am curious. Andy Hart is here from WEEI Afternoons.
Hi.
The UNLV story.
Hi.
Where do you come down on this?
Yeah.
The quarterback from UNLV who is leaving after 3 games because he was promised $100,000 and he has not received $100,000. What's your take on that?
I think it's a terrible road we're going down for college football, but I agree with him.
Yeah, I agree with the kid.
Like, if you took a job and they didn't pay you, wouldn't you stop working?
Because that's what this is. This is a job. This is a job,
right?
Now. Yeah.
If they promise you money to do something, that's a job.
And this is one where I think
Do you have to quit it? Isn't there another way to go about getting your money?
Yeah, pay me now.
Yeah, give me
pay
my
me
money
this
and I'll play.
And I'll play.
Or I walk.
Do you think he's going to get any money by going anywhere else?
No, but he can't trust them because he needed to do it
to redshirt to get that
next year.
UNLV should have paid him, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm questioning him leaving. So UNLV's wrong to not pay him. He should leave?
Yeah.
He should quit his team in the middle
of the
year?
That's his only leverage.
I also don't think his teammates are going to be mad at him. In this day and age, they're like, dude,
no,
you had $100,000. He gave you $100,000. No. Now the backup gets to go in. He maybe has a chance to make some money.
I don't think he's going to get more than the $3,000 UNLV was paying him if he goes elsewhere. What college is going to bring him on and be like, he might walk in the middle of next
not
year?
Not if they pay him. What? He'll be like, listen,
wait,
if you
sign
me
UNLV
to something.
Signing
no,
this?
I just said
no,
this.
No, Jones
I
isn't,
just,
but he kind of is.
Terrible. I just think, is there a better way to go about getting your money?
But you
yeah,
can't.
I bet he did. My guess is when he
hey,
got there, he's like,
money?
Where's my money? They're like, we don't have it. Week one, he's like, where's my money? We don't have it. Week two, he's like, where's my money?
Okay,
we don't have it. Week three,
you have just that's a good way. Couldn't you have gone public and been like, they haven't paid me? That's kind of weird. And then public pressure gets put on him. You could have done that before he just walked away.
And they dragged their feet, and now you have to play for the team or your college career is over.
Yeah, is that the rule? Like, so if he can still register?
This was, yeah, now he had to do it, I believe, this week.
So if he doesn't walk away,
he
loses his eligibility.
Yeah. You can only play, I think, in three games. After three games, you've played it. You've used
yes,
season.
He says should have started putting up a stink earlier.
Maybe he did.
Maybe he did. I mean,
well, not the public part of it. He definitely didn't do that. He might have told the school, but he didn't.
Maybe he was trying not to be an a-hole.
Yeah, I'm not trying to throw you in the bus.
No, definitely that's what he's
you
doing.
Catch
quitting
more
on
flies.
His team.
What, you don't like him?
No, he's definitely not an a-hole for quitting on his team in the middle of the year. I agree.
Hey, I don't.
They never paid him. I think he's did the right thing.
There
at
was
first,
a
was
job offer.
But I didn't realize how much money was offered versus how much was actually
good
paid
news
to
for
him.
Ken Lair. Just stop paying Jones and he'll still keep working.
Can't leave the show now, Jones. We just started.
No, I just right. A guy walks away in the middle of the season. They're 3-0. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
No one cares about that.
You're using like the heartstrings. It's a football team and we're a family. No, it's a job.
Are you the?
He was paid $100,000,
but as of 3 years ago, it wasn't a job.
But now it is.
No, yeah, it is. I guess
now.
Kind
now
of it is,
especially for him.
$100,000 for a 22-year-old,
but not
that's a job.
But not every kid on the team gets paid,
right?
Okay, but I'm just telling you, it's not a job for.
But
all
for
of them.
Him, he's a mercenary. He left Holy Cross after 4 years, signs with UNLV for $100,000. They don't give the $100,000.
Goodbye.
Bleep you, pay me.
Goodbye.
You know how many Busch Lights I could have bought with $3,000 a month? So many.
A ton. I don't think you're playing quarterback.
How many could you have bought with $100,000?
a whole lot more. The school should pay him. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I don't know that you should walk away from your team in the middle of the year.
I think it was his only choice.
There was no other option. It's either be a sucker and don't get paid.
No, there is an option. Yeah, but both sides kind of look like a-holes in it is what I would say.
Yeah, but when is he going to get his money? Like, there's no guarantee. They were hoping that he would just lock in for this fourth week, and then he has no choice.
Right.
And then he plays, and he doesn't get paid, and they get him, and he's never going to make $100,000 playing football again. I don't think he's like a prospector of any sort.
No, yeah. I don't think so.
I don't think he's going to get his NIL from any other school.
I bet you he will.
I bet he does.
No. I bet you he will.
Sympathy 100? Sympathy
no, I think he's a pretty good
Well, if UNLV is like, whatever.
He's a dual threat quarterback. He put up numbers there. He put up numbers at Holy Cross.
3-0.
I mean.
3-0 with the Rebs. It's pretty good.
I bet you he'll get a shot somewhere.
Somebody will.
There's money out there. I was listening to the Edelman podcast with Billy O detailing how much they pay people and how, like by tiers and
maybe
there's this
them.
Tier, that tier. And then Edelman with the line of the century, he's like, wait, you're a Catholic school. Just ask the Pope for more money. I was like, that's a pretty good line.
That's not how this works.
Classic. That's what Billy O actually
said.
I don't think that's how this works.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Okay. Oh, that's,
I can't believe you're siding with big business.
No, I hope,
screw the little man. Don't pay him what you promised.
No, I hope somebody walks away from BC for Bill O'Brien in the middle of the year. I hope that's how it works out. I can't complain about
maybe they
BC
sign
is
the
an
contract.
Upstanding university.
They pay you what you're worth.
The real lesson here
I agree. Pro-Catholic Church, I agree.
The real lesson here is something you poo-pooed the other day.
What is that?
Make sure the $100,000 is in the bush. Don't wait for it down the road.
I was totally wrong about that.
Yes.
You're right. I was so
Take
wrong
the
about
money.
It. I was so wrong about riding out the Zach
take
prospect.
The money.
Right. Yeah.
Take the money.
Take the money.
Speaking of which,
maybe
should I take my Saquon payout now for Offensive Player of the Year?
Ooh, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm already making
Actually, wait a minute. No, you shouldn't. You should let that ride. You're going to win that.
It's really early. I mean,
you're going to win that.
It is early.
Let it ride.
I feel like you're effing with me.
I
feel like you're bullying me a little bit here.
Let it ride.
You'll win, sucker.
He's off to a nice start.
Let it ride.
Uh-huh. Okay, what do you guys have coming up on the program today?
We got Alex Cora at 2:30
for
the Soaring Sox.
Oh, their biggest win of the year last
night.
Not
eliminated yet.
Not dead.
No.
Nothing is over, nothing at this point.
It's true.
It might be.
It might be the last time we interview him this year. Might be.
Okay.
Oh, I would say it is.
He likes us.
Unless...
He likes us. He might just call in randomly because he knows the name of the show now.
That's right, true.
That's good.
He did come up
Do
with
Do you know the name of the show?
He seems to think he knows it, so we're going to ask him today.
We'll
leave
we'll
it to him.
What did he come up with?
He just said congratulations on the new name of the show, on the show getting named, which I don't think he actually knew or even heard that, but we told him you don't name a show like this like you don't name pigs on a farm, you know? You don't want to get too attached. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, you're not naming the turkeys before Thanksgiving. That's true. So that's fair. Okay.
We also have Schefter. At 3:45.
Oh, very good.
He's been very energetic.
Has he?
Yeah.
He has.
In all seriousness.
Shot out of a cannon.
He said he wanted our jobs last week, but we moved past that.
Right.
His dream job, he said, was
talking about Woj
afternoons on EEI.
Yeah, chair in there. That's fine.
All right. You got Shefty. You got Cora, maybe for the last time. Stay tuned. It's WEEI Afternoons. You got Arcan. You got Hart. We're back tomorrow at 10 here on WEEI.